It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome back to this week's edition of The State of Recruiting, your weekly Orange 24/7 recruiting podcast. I'm Mike Roach, and I'm joined as always by Nick Harris. And we've got a special guest today we'll introduce in just a second. Before we do, we'd like to remind you to go to any of the podcast platforms, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, any of those, and give us a good rating, review, any of that stuff, especially on iTunes. A five-star review with a question gets answered in our mailbag segment. Also, we want to point you to the other great shows on our network, the flagship with Taylor Estes and Chip Brown, and the Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Ron Babers. So before we get into that, obviously I may sound a little different. I'm at a different locale. We've got Nick, and we're joined by Tommy Yarish from Bridgeland High School Media. Tommy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So we're obviously going to talk about Texas' new quarterback offer from Bridgeland and all those things, and that's why Tommy's joining us and is going to stick around for the high school picks. Before we jump into that, fellas, how's it going? How's Thanksgiving week looking for you guys?
It's definitely different. I'm also in the process of moving while it's been like Thanksgiving week, so we're having like a weird Thanksgiving tomorrow as we're recording on Wednesday. So it's been a weird week, but what hasn't been weird this year?
That's very true. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Half my family's not here. They're all up in Chicago. So it's just me and a couple of closer family members here. We're having this incredible Thanksgiving dinner of order in from two restaurants and Cheesecake Factory. So
there you go.
Oh man, ordering in. I've got to smoke turkeys tomorrow. So the turkeys are on me. And today I found out that you can't take a frozen turkey out of the freezer like 24 hours before and expect it to be thawed. So we're trying some advanced thawing techniques right now as we speak. My wife is working on that. So, fellas, let's jump right in. We've talked a lot about what the 2022 quarterback picture will look like for Texas, especially after losing out on Quinn Ewers, having him committed. And Texas, you know, the night that Quinn decommitted, I wrote a post on our board that said, if I'm Mike Yurcich, I'm on the phone immediately to Connor Wegman and Cade Klubnik. And those are the two guys that I would focus on. Texas offered Klubnik first, and then this week offered, or I guess last week offered Wegman. Tommy, you've seen him play, I would assume, every game of his high school career. You know, what can you tell us about him as a player?
You know, Connor is just a once in a generation athlete. You don't really see too many guys like him because he excels in two sports, and that's football and baseball. A lot of people kind of don't know that he is one of the best baseball players. He's not the best baseball player in his class. He is just an incredible athlete, and it shows on the football field. I mean, the first play that I ever saw him run was a flea flicker back to him for a 60-yard touchdown, and that's when I knew that he was going to be really special, and he is just continued to show that he can do everything that you need at a quarterback position. He can throw short. He can run the ball when he needs to. He needs to work a little bit on his long ball, if anything. But when he starts hitting those, I mean, it's just going to be unstoppable for defenses to stop him.
So like 2 years ago, a Texas coach told me about Dylan Goffney and that they were looking into him. And like Tim, so I started watching his film, and that's kind of when I saw Connor for the first time. You go to school with him. What's he like off the field as well?
Connor is a very quiet guy. He doesn't talk too much. He doesn't, look around too much. He's just kind of a very mellow, relaxed guy. If I get more than three sentences out of him, it's a good day. I mean, he's not really the type of, you know, outgoing guy that you see. Like I said, very kept to himself, walks by himself in the hallways most of the time. So he's not a very talkative guy, and interviews with him are the worst. I mean, he doesn't give me any solid answers, but that's just how it is.
Okay, so last week when he got the offer, he and I have been talking for a while because even before he's kind of blew up, he was following me on Twitter, and then I would DM him from here and there and say, hey, who are you hearing from? What's going on? And so I thought, okay, cool. He's usually pretty responsive. I'll hit him up and get some quotes. And it was pulling teeth to get quotes for a story. And I didn't think it was, usually it's either because the kid's kind of a jerk or it's because the kid's just really quiet. And I figured it was the second. But yeah, it was tough to get some answers out of him. Nick, you have anything for Tommy?
Yeah, Weidman seems really smart, not only off the field, but on the field as well. How have you seen kind of Connor progress, you know, as his career has gone on at Bridgeland, you know, in his decision-making?
Oh, decision-making is, if I had to pick one facet of his play that's really improved this year, it's got to be his decision-making. I mean, he knows the difference between needing to run the ball and needing to throw the ball. I think that he has learned to kind of assess the offense better when he's in the pocket, and he can do that quickly, and he started to do that better over the past couple of games especially. I've noticed that over the past couple of games, he hasn't really run too much, and he's been able to work on that throwing motion a little bit. So he's just kind of – obviously, he's still a younger guy as a junior, so he's still learning, and he's made a couple of mistakes here and there. But for a junior quarterback at this point with such a good team around him and with playing competitive teams like Shadow Creek and Cy Park and Cy Fair this coming week, he has made some pretty good decisions. And I would, like I said, that's the biggest improvement that I've seen from him from last year.
Yeah, I'm really confident that they can make a deep run in 6A Division II. And I'd like to get your opinion on that too, just because in the beginning of the year, I think we all said that, you know, Bridgeland has a pretty good shot to make some noise in Houston. They're kind of a sleeper team, but now they're really starting to emerge as a state title contender. So what's kind of the buzz around Bridgeland right now? And, you know, how excited are you guys for this playoff run?
Well, we're definitely very excited. I think there is a lot of fuel coming from that first round exit to Vandegrift last year. That was a game that everybody thought that they should have won, and they should have won it. But this year, they came into this year, and they knew they were special. They knew that they were going to hang around in there, and the confidence really went up, especially after that Shadow Creek game. Obviously, you know, being able to win that game with Dylan Goffney out and a couple other guys on defense that they had really missed, that's one of the better teams in the state. So getting that win in week two was obviously great for them, and then even beating Klein Kane, you know, Jaden Blue had almost 300 yards that game, and they still were able to hang around and beat them. The confidence is high. I'm confident, like you said, Nick, they can make a deep run. I wouldn't be surprised if you see these guys in the state playoffs down in Dallas this year.
They're becoming the trendy pick, and I hope they are, because I really want to get down there, and my wife's going out of town and this weekend, so like I can't leave town, or else I think I would probably be going with Nick to Houston on Friday. I really just want to come see them play. But I would assume, so I get most of my Connor highlights from your Twitter feed, which, by the way, shout that out so anybody listening can give you a follow.
It's Tommy_Yarsh. That's TOMMY_YARRISH.
So I would assume you're going to, by the end of his career, have quite the archive of footage from his games. And you should be able to put together a pretty epic highlight film, I would think.
Well, I already made one for him. I think like 5 weeks into the year, and it was a 2-minute-plus highlight reel. So, I mean, that just shows you how special of a kid he is. And I have my camera rolling most of the game, if not all of the game, and that still didn't capture all of the highlights. I have like 10 plus more that I could have put in there, but I was like, well, he can't have a 15-minute long highlight reel to put on his Twitter feed. So, but no, I mean, I'll have content for him for years to come. That he's very special, and he just is a walking highlight reel.
Obviously you mentioned baseball. I don't know if there's any talk around Bridgeland. Talking to Connor, it seems like he wants to definitely go to college and play football and baseball. And, but you know, when the MLB throws millions of dollars at you, that's obviously tough to take. How much do you think that's a factor in his decision-making?
That is a very good question that I wish I could answer. And, I'm going to refer back to Connor is very, very kept to himself. He doesn't talk about his recruitment much. He doesn't talk about that, you know, baseball or football decision I know that he did talk about it to Ryan Groninger, and he just told him that, you know, football was the way that he wanted to go. But like you said, Mike, those millions of dollars from the MLB can definitely change everything. And knowing Connor and his abilities on the baseball field as well, he's definitely a guy that when his senior year comes next year can get drafted into the MLB and make those millions of dollars. So I wish I had an answer for that, but if I had to bet money on it, I would think that he would be going to play college football on Saturdays.
All right. Nick, you have anything else for him?
No, that was actually just one of my questions. I'm curious to see how much the baseball will factor into his recruitment, because I assume he's going to try to play both at the next level. So, yeah, that was a question I had. I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing what he decides on. And I'm also looking forward to seeing him on the diamond in the spring.
Yeah, Tommy, do you have – sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you have a comparison for him, like a guy that he reminds you of? So I've kind of said – and it's not really – the game's not the same, and I'm not saying he's going to reach these heights, but – he's a little Pat Mahomesy to me in the way that he makes a lot of throws off platform and different arm slots, and he breaks a lot of the conventional rules of quarterbacking and still succeed.
I would 100% agree with you. I think he runs a little bit more than Mahomes does, but yeah, no, I would say that is a very accurate comparison.
All right, I guess my last our last thing for you is, Tommy, you are one of the more accomplished young media guys. And I'm always taking an interest in the young media guys because they're eventually going to be guys that I either hire or are going to replace me one day. I know that you're you finished, second in like a national sports writer competition last year. You do great stuff every week with Bridgeland Media. Dude, I saw you out covering cross country this week. God bless you. What are the plans? You're a senior this year, right?
Yes, sir.
What are the plans for next year?
Well, I'm kind of down to two schools. I'm waiting on Texas. I applied for the 40 Acre Scholars Program. So if I get into that, that's a full ride. So, I mean, I would be pretty dumb if I didn't take that and go to Texas. But if not, the plan is to go down to Tuscaloosa and go Roll Tide at University of Alabama.
Oh, we can't remind Texas fans about recruitments that involve Texas and Alabama.
Yeah. At least he didn't say Ohio State. That's a rough subject. I've told Tommy, and so, yeah, if you end up at Texas, Tommy, we will have an internship for you at Hornets 24/7, whatever you want to do. We'll figure it out. I think you're insanely talented, and you got a bright future in this business. So Tommy's going to stick with us. We're going to pick our high school games like normal. So Nick, what's on the slate for this week?
We're going to go ahead and start it off with, the Tommy Yar special.
Before we do, let's do the regular. Let's tell everybody where we're going, where we went last week and where we've been this week and where we're going.
So, yeah, absolutely.
What was last week for you?
Last week I was at, I have to pull up my schedule every time because I always forget one or two. Last week on Thursday, I went out to Forney, went and saw Ennis and North Forney. I had heard a lot about Ennis's receiving core, and there was one receiver that I really liked for Ennis at 2022, and they stomped on North Forney pretty good in the second half. And, you know, I think that's a 5A Division II state champion waiting to happen. That's a great story at Ennis. Sam Harrell obviously led them to a few state titles back in his day. He left for some health issues. And now he's back at Ennis and looking to lead them to another state title. It looks like he'll do that. So I'm excited for that Ennis program. North Forney, they had a couple of dudes as well. Cameron Allen committed to Michigan State. He looked pretty good. Roderick Brown, a defensive tackle, committed to Air Force. He looked pretty good as well. And then on Friday, I went out west to Floyd Data, Texas, and saw Spearman and Ballinger. Spearman has the 2022 four-star athlete Brennan Thompson. He was electric all night, even despite battling a ankle injury that's kind of been lingering the past few weeks. He had three total touchdowns, including a pick six, kind of as time expired. They won 35-7, and they're going to keep marching down in those 3A Division II playoffs. And next week, if everything aligns, they will play Canadian in the regional final, which I think will be one of the bigger games in the state. And those were the two games I was at last week.
Okay, and you were at a game actually today, just before we recorded. You were in the hometown, seeing the alma mater, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Went and saw Rockwall Heath against Mesquite. Rockwall Heath, obviously one of the best offenses in the state. Got to see 2022 prospects, Jay Fair at wide receiver, Jordan Neighbors at wide receiver, Zach Evans at running back, Josh Hoover at quarterback. All four of those guys are going to be FBS guys for sure. Might all four be Power Five guys. I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing their progression. And there was even a 2024 corner that I saw for Rockwall Heath tonight that looked pretty good. I'm looking forward to seeing his career. And then the rest of the week, I have five more games set up this weekend. On Friday, pending credential improvement, going out to see North Shore and Atascocita Friday afternoon. And Friday night, going to see Tommy at Bridgeland and Cy Fair. On Saturday, Cy Park and Cy Creek. And then Saturday night, Humble and Humble Summer Creek. Still awaiting approval on the Humble Summer Creek game. And then Monday, seeing Rockwall and North Mesquite. So I got a bit of a loaded schedule this week, but it's Thanksgiving. We feast.
Yeah, this is usually playoff week, fam. That's what kind of hit me, is like I'm usually at AT&T for like a triple header this weekend. So we'll do what we can. I only went out last Friday and I saw DeSoto dismantle Mansfield in a game that featured an entire second half with a running clock, to go see Byron Murphy, who looked really good. Jonte Cook was kind of quiet in that game, but overall DeSoto looks like they have rebounded from their loss to Cedar Hill. This week's going to be kind of light for me, actually. I kind of gambled on getting credentials into Duncanville DeSoto this week, and as you know, getting credentials to DeSoto is always kind of a crapshoot. Duncanville is always kind of a crapshoot, and it looks like I came up on the wrong end. I don't think I'm going to be approved, but I'm still looking at what I might do, but not for sure where I'm going to end up there. Friday afternoon, I'm going out to see Frisco Liberty and Denison, out in Denison, to see our good friends up there in Texoma. And then Saturday, I'll see Ishmael Ibrahim and Kimball against South Oak Cliff. All right, let's jump into the picks.
So our first game, the Tommy Yar Special, Cy Fair and Bridgeland. Tommy, you can start us off here. I feel like I know who you're picking, though.
Well, this game is extremely tough for me to pick, just because I've seen both of these teams play, and they are both so good. But I have to pick my guys over at Bridgeland, just because I feel like that Cy Fair defense, it hasn't been what it has been before. And obviously, you know, with guys like Wigman and Goffney and Hunter Wallace, who's a wide receiver that's really on the come up, and I think that he is one of the more overlooked guys in the area. I think that that offense is going to just, you know, do what they do best, and that's put up points on the board. So I got Bridgeland in this one.
So I'm going to take everything Tommy said there, and I'm going to say that LJ Johnson has not had the senior season I expected him to have. He's still very good, still had a very good year, but I think he hasn't taken that next jump like I expect that he has. Since we've got Tommy on and I'm a Connor fan, I'm going to roll with Bridgeland on this one.
Yeah, I like the picks. The thing that kind of keeps me intrigued about this game is that, yes, both offenses can score. Yes, both defenses can play well when they want to. But the thing with Cy Fair, if LJ Johnson goes out and has, you know, a game that, you know, we expect him to have, Cy Fair's offense is still pretty one-dimensional in that fact. So in that case, I'm going to take Bridgeland, because I feel like if it's a close game towards the end, and that's if Cy Fair plays a perfect game, I think Bridgeland still wins that game. So I'm going to take Bridgeland. And our second game of the week, Duncanville and DeSoto, obviously going to be a little interesting. Not really sure if starters are going to be playing all four quarters. We assume they will. This game doesn't really mean much for district standings, but it means a lot for Pride in South Dallas. So Tommy, who do you have in this one?
I've really liked both teams a lot this year, but the team that has stuck out to me the most is DeSoto. They have played incredibly well on both sides of the ball, and that defense is as good as it gets in Texas, so I'm going to rock with DeSoto. Shout out Chris Jeter.
Absolutely.
I feel bad saying this. I just spent last week with the DeSoto dads, and they welcomed me to their tailgate. We had a wonderful time. They fed me. The hospitality was tremendous, but you don't, Nick, get rich betting against Duncanville. And I think that as good as DeSoto's defense is, and they have probably the best defensive line in the state. Duncanville may have the best offensive line in the country. And I think that they're not as dangerous as they were with Jaquindon Jackson, obviously, but I still think they've got enough at this point to put DeSoto away. It'll be interesting because Duncanville's already captured the district title, and DeSoto probably has more to play for at this point. So that's a factor, but I think I'm gonna stick with Duncanville.
Yeah, that's my main point here. DeSoto has nothing to lose in this game, and I think Duncanville might have a little bit more to lose. I think DeSoto's going to come out a little bit more hungry than Duncanville is, and those are guys that when they're hungry and they're motivated, they're going to pull off a big-time win. And, you know, despite losing to Cedar Hill a couple weeks back, I still think this DeSoto team has a very good shot at making a state championship run. And I think it all starts on Friday with a win over Duncanville. So I'm going to say DeSoto. And our third game of the week, Argyle and Waco La Vega. This is the sixth time they've played in 3 years. I believe Waco La Vega is up 3-2 in those last five games. But Argyle, obviously one of the best teams in 4A D1 this year. They've already beat them once this year. So who do you have in this one, Tommy?
Like you said, Argyle is definitely one of the best 4A teams out there. I've been very impressed with how they've played all year, and I think they're going to stay hot and easily take care of this one.
I am going to roll with Argyle as well. I've seen Argyle, I guess I saw him once live early in the year against Pleasant Grove, and I've seen him on TV a couple times, and that's as nasty of an Argyle team as I've seen in a long, long time. I know that these games usually swing based off the regular season result and the playoff result, but I know Argyle pounded them in the regular season. I'm going to go with them and pound them again.
You know, in 2018, a lot of people doubted Waco La Vega, and they played Argyle in the playoffs that year. And it was the same year that during the regular season, Argyle handled them pretty well, just like they did last year. I saw La Vega a couple weeks ago against Brownwood, and they looked really, really strong. But I feel like this Argyle team is a different monster this year. They have legit talent on both sides of the ball. I think it'll be a really closer game than a lot of people might expect. I think La Vega will be in it in the fourth quarter. But I think Argyle's talent is eventually going to put them over the top, and they're going to be well on their way to a state championship after this win this week. So I'm taking Argyle. And then our fourth game of the week, Corpus Christi, Cal Allen, and Austin LBJ home to Clemson commit Andrew Makuba, as well as Oklahoma commit Latrell McCutcheon. They've been able to do some pretty impressive things on both sides of the ball this year. Corpus Christi, Cal Allen, home to one of the more legendary head coaches in the state of Texas, and Phil Danaher, and one of the more legendary programs as well. So who do you have in this one, Tom?
Got to go with LBJ. I mean, those two guys that you just named are two of the best athletes in the state. Obviously, you know, Clemson and Oklahoma, two schools that are very sought after by a lot of recruits, especially Clemson. You know, if you get offered by Clemson, you're obviously a pretty good football player. So I'm rocking with LBJ here.
It's a tough one because I think Cal Allen shook my confidence a little bit last week in a close one. But I'm going to continue to roll with Phil Danaher. They just seem to know what to do at this time of the year. And I'll go with Cal Allen.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Cal Allen as well. There's a lot of talent right now in the Corpus Christi area. I'm excited to get there during the off season and check out some schools because I've heard some great things at Flower Bluff, at Miller, and, of course, at Cal Allen. So I'm excited to get down there and check out some things. But I think Cal Allen will get over LBJ this week, and I think they're going to move on in the playoffs and maybe even have a shot at getting back to AT&T Stadium, where they almost knocked off Alito. I believe that was back in, 2016? The really good night game. I think it was like the Friday night game a few years back.
Yeah, it was the game. It was Jason McClellan won state title MVP as a freshman.
That's right. And our speaking of state title MVPs, Mr. Double-Double MVP Dane Yench at Grandview, he's won the offensive and defensive MVPs the last 2 years of the state championship. His Grandview Zebras are going to be up against Malakoff. This is the third year in a row they're going to be matching up in the playoffs. And this is obviously a big-time rivalry it's grown to be. So It's going to be in Waco on Friday afternoon. Tommy, who do you have in this one?
That Grandview-Molokov game is always a game that I'm looking forward to, just because, like you said, it is such a big rivalry, and it can really go either way every year. But like you said, Nick, that two-time MVP on both sides of the ball, that's too hard to argue with. I got Grandview.
This one's tough, Nick. What do I always say about Malakoff? You don't get rich betting against Malakoff either. But this is a game where it's truly, I think, really a toss-up. I feel like I should – Grandview's literally, like, right down the street from me relatively. I'm probably the closest media member to Grandview, Texas, in the world. I got to roll with Malakoff, though. I'm going to stick with Malakoff in this one.
Wow, it's a little bit of a surprising pick. I don't think you get rich betting against either of these teams, but Grandview, back-to-back state champions, I'm not picking against them until someone can knock them off. Give me the Zebras. And that's all five of our games this week.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Nick. And we'll try to circle up on records and get all that taken care of next week as we kind of head towards the big school playoffs. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us today, man, giving us a little insight on to Connor. You already shouted out your Twitter account. Is there anywhere else you're doing work or anything else you want to promote?
Sure. Follow me on Instagram at Tommy Yarish. It's just my full name. And then I have a photography/media page as well. Yarish.jpg. So give those a follow on IG, and I really appreciate you guys having me out today.
We got to talk about the Instagram first before I go. I just started following you, and I've discovered that you use the Cam Newton hieroglyphics.
I do.
What's going on with that?
I just, you know, just wanted it to be a little different. I think that I like it a lot. I like how it looks. I've had friends tell me that they get seizures while reading it, but I enjoy it. I think it looks good.
Yeah, I saw it the other day, and I was like, oh, no, because I used to hate when Cam would come across my Instagram and I would see, and I'm like, I can't understand what he's saying. So it's just the old man in me, man. Don't worry about it.
We're getting old, Mike.
I'm 36. I'm too old for that type of stuff. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining us. Everybody, please go check Tommy out. And look, man, we'll definitely have you back on at some point.
Looking forward to it. Appreciate it again. Thank you, guys.
All right. And now it's time for the mailbag. As always, we put the thread up on the Orange 24/7 message board, and you can drop your questions there. You can also shoot us a five-star review on iTunes. Any five-star review there with a question gets answered. Probably had some difficulty today with the a good chunk of the internet being down for most of the day, which disabled our website as well. It was kind of crazy to watch. As I sat around waiting to be able to do work, but it looks like the website's back up now. We do have a few questions on there, so we're going to do these and get out. And it's probably a little shorter episode than normal, but it is Thanksgiving week, and we're ready to kind of move on with our family. So, Nick, let's jump right into this. Our first question comes to us from Polly Dreamer. It says, Mike, is there anything Texas can do on the field to help the 2021 class, or has the book already been written? Who are some names for 2021 you feel might become popular soon? I think the book is pretty much written. I mean, they're almost at the cap for the class, which probably, I think, 22, 23 maybe. I think that when you look at it, the biggest thing that they could do is win out and win the Big 12 championship. And that may sway a race or two. Maybe it wins you, LJ Johnson, maybe it wins you Shamar Turner. But in this case, I think the class really has already been written. A name to keep an eye on is David Abiara, who just decommitted from Notre Dame. I know Texas was talking to him earlier in the year, tried to get some clarity on where he stands on their board as of right now, but that's a name to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. If they can go out and win a Big 12 championship and maybe even get in a Cotton Bowl matchup with A&M and beat them, I think that could significantly impact recruitments, such as Shamar Turner, most notably, but also some other ones as well. And as far as who are some names for 2021 you feel might become popular for us soon? I don't know if you mean guys that Texas maybe hasn't offered yet, but I'm going to go ahead and throw a name out there that I've been liking, Marvin Covington from Mansfield Lake Ridge, a 2021 corner. He's starting to emerge on the recruiting scene. Wouldn't be surprised if Texas maybe takes a chance on him. I don't know a lot on the staff's perception of him, but he's a kid that I'm liking right now. And if they were to offer, I feel like Texas would be in a good spot.
All right, our next question. Does Evan Stewart remind you of Jalen Waddle? No, I've said over and over again that Evan Stewart reminds me of Garrett Wilson, except more athletic, like probably straight line faster. Now, I think Garrett Wilson had a lot more natural, like, body control and probably a little more dog in him. But Evan Stewart takes a backseat to nobody when it comes to athleticism. I think he's having a phenomenal year. He just got tripped up by a little bit of injury, so – that'll stop him a little bit, but I would say he's more of an outside guy. I don't really love him in the slot as much as I like Waddle there.
Yeah, Evan's speed is just really incredible. I don't think there's a lot of recruits that I can't really sit here and say that there is a wide receiver recruit that I've seen, you know, in my short time covering recruiting that's been as fast as Evan. So he's kind of been in a league of his own for me as of right now.
All right. Next question from Triplet Joseph 44. If Texas were to offer Austin Uke, how would they sit with him? And how does Texas sit for Evan Stewart? With Uke, I think there's still time there, but obviously it's running out every day. I think that, the Longhorns would be in a good position. But there are probably a couple of schools who are doing a better job getting that relationship in now. I know that he's been talking with the Texas staff. As far as Evan Stewart, Texas was one of the early schools to offer him. I think he really likes him, but they did take a hit when they lost Quinn Ewers. Evan and Quinn were growing close with each other, and I think would have been easy to say, but that he would have been at Texas if Quinn was still here. But I think Texas is still in it for him, not out of the race at all, but probably not in the front runner seat.
Yeah, as far as Austin Uke, Texas has hosted him for a virtual visit that I know of. Austin also does like Texas, and he likes the idea of Texas. And he said if he were to be offered, he'd go down and tour the campus for himself. If they were to offer, I think they'd be in a pretty good position. But obviously, as time goes on, he's starting to build, stronger relationships with those schools that have offered him, such as SMU and USC and others like that. So that's all just kind of a waiting game to see what the Texas staff does. As far as Evan Stewart, I think he's going to be a recruitment that plays out well into his senior year. So I think Texas has a lot of time regardless of how they sit right now.
Yeah, I think that's important what you just mentioned there. I do think that this plays out down the line, so I don't think anybody's in any sort of rush right now. From Horns Fan 7612, did Billy Bowman look like a Brandon Jones type of player at safety? Is that a good comparison, even though I've never seen him play safety? Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, he is kind of a center fielder with a lot of range. I think he was a guy that more would fit in like a nickel spot and kind of let him sit in the middle of the field and make plays. But Brandon Jones isn't a bad comparison for him. I'm not sure it's the best one, but I don't have one off the top of my head right now.
I'm not sure if Billy is as big as Brandon.
No, he's not. He's not.
Okay. That would be my biggest knock on that comparison. It's just the size difference is a little bit different, and that kind of plays into their playing style as a safety. But I think Billy's a little bit more rangy as well.
Yeah. I think they just kind of would have a similar type of role more than anything.
Yeah.
And then our last question from Horns Fan 7612. If you had to handicap it this way, which 21 player and 22 players Texas is in the best standing with at the moment? In 22, let me start with 22. In 22, I will say, I think Devon Campbell is still my answer there. I think that for whatever reason, Texas was early to offer. They've had no problems since that point in time with him and have kept up a really good relationship. So I'll say Devon Campbell. In 21, Antonio Harmon. Probably, but that's all going to depend on the way Texas pushes for him down the stretch. So that'll be interesting to watch there.
Yeah, Antonio Harmon is also my answer for the 2021 class. As far as 2022, you mentioned Devon Campbell. I think Jadon Blue is still in a I think Texas is still in a pretty good spot with him. Chase Biddle is another one in 2022, of course. You know, despite Quinn and the whole Quinn saga that's kind of happened in the last 2 to 3 months, the 2022 class still has a really good shot at being a top 5 or 10 class. And I think recruiting fans need to remember that, you know, regardless of what happens on campus. I think this 2022 class can still be really special just because of all the in-state talent that is available in this class. You know, even if you are the second or third best class in state, you're going to manage to figure it out and pull off a top 10, top 15 class. So that's just something important to remember.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for the mailbag and our show this week. Nick, what's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
I'm a big green bean casserole guy. I know, I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. Obviously mac and cheese. You know, my mom can whip up some crazy good mac and cheese, but green bean casserole is one of my sneaky sleeper picks.
Yeah, I'm pretty simple. My grandfather made awesome mashed potatoes my entire life. Mashed potatoes like I've never tasted anywhere else. My grandma continues to make them to this day, so that's my favorite part of the meal for sure. All right, well, we hope you guys all enjoy your Thanksgiving. Hope you have a safe week and continue to stay safe and healthy out there. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach, and we will see you guys next week.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.